You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Today, we're diving into something that's changing the real estate game, AI. I'll admit it, I dream about a bot answering tenant emails while I sip my espresso. But guess what? Tenants are using AI too. Lately, we're getting ChatGPT-authored complaints complete with citations from the Quebec Civil Code. In this episode, I'll walk you through platforms real estate investors are using, how AI is shifting property management, and how to stay legal on both sides of the border. I'll also tell you what I've tested and what to keep your eye on.
Welcome to the Real Escape Investing Podcast, where we guide you to escape the constraints of time, geography, and finance through real estate. And now, here's your host, Terry Schauer.
Hey, real estate fans, I have exciting news to share with you. Our monthly in-person networking events are back. If you're in the Montreal area, and even if you're not, go ahead and grab a ticket for our next event at equitybuildersclub.com/events. I would love to see you out. Hey, real estate fan. So in this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about something that's changing the real estate industry, but it's actually changing everything else as well. And if you haven't started using AI in some way in your life, for sure the people around are using it on you. So in this episode, I want to dive into some of the things that I'm seeing, some of the trends that I'm being aware of, and also how you can leverage some of these new tools to help you be more productive and at least keep up with some of the stuff that's going on. So I want to go back maybe like almost 8 months when we received the first complaint email that had obviously been authored by ChatGPT. So one of our most annoying tenants ran his laundry list of complaints through ChatGPT and requested that every single item on there have a reference to the Quebec Civil Code, which in our area of Quebec in Canada is the law that really governs how tenancy is operated. And so, you know, my assistant property manager and I were like kind of poring over this email, and we were like, this is not this guy who composed the email on his own. This is ChatGPT. It's like written as if a lawyer would write it, but it's just a little bit too perfect. And so then I like remember this like it was yesterday. My assistant then proceeded to have her ChatGPT write a response to what he was saying with a collection of the data that we had on how we had managed some of the situations. And so it's like as if the AI bots were battling each other out with some little small shred of events that actually happened. And so that was really kind of a precursor where, you know, it dawned on me for the first time how this AI integration into our lives as real estate investors is really going to be a game changer. And now, you know, fast forward almost 6 to 8 months, and now the AI uses that we're seeing on a daily basis are just really going up and up. And so I think, you know, what I want to first do is share some of these like cool, scary, irritating new ways in which AI is showing up in my property management practice on a regular basis, and then dive a little bit into some of the other tools that are being used by investors, and then conclude by just thinking through and understanding how some of these situations are a bit different on different sides of the border because the data and privacy, and so what actually the AIs can be fed on in different markets is not the same. So for example, in Canada, if you want to be using AI to scrape data, whether it's ownership data, whether it's, you know, private tenant data, or whether it's, you know, just looking at deal analysis, we just have access to less data up here in Canada than a AI that is scraping what's available in the US, just because our privacy laws are really more stringent than across the US. So I want to just start by outlining some of the ways in which I'm seeing AI crop up in our life as a real estate investor. So the first is the one that I really just cited, which is, you know, tenants beginning to formulate their complaints and like almost write lawyer's letter quality text when they have particular grievances. And I noticed this the first time with our irritating tenant, but now it's like, I would say almost, you know, 30 to 50% of our tenants, when they have a complaint, it is clear from the way that it's written that it's not them writing it, that it's, you know, they've pumped their grievances into ChatGPT and it's like spit out, you know, a lawyer's letter. And so obviously myself and my staff are able to leverage this tool as well when we have to compose responses to people. And so, you know, rather than going directly to the lawyer's letter and paying however much money you would need to pay, and then also waiting for the time delays for that response to come back, I mean, that's just like a huge advantage. And one of the other places that I've seen this come up again, you know, in the legal field is that we have various contracts that we write and that we translate back and forth from French and English. And so in a market where at a certain point, being able to write effectively in both languages was really something quite rare that you had to do in your brain. Now for my rental agents and my employees who previously really were not that good in the other language, those of them who are now leveraging GPT or a various different AIs are able to just be instantly bilingual in writing. And so for my employees who are learning to leverage that, it's like really a major equalizer, because all of a sudden somebody who didn't have the best writing skills, you know, bilingual writing skills in both languages has become quite proficient at writing. And I would say this also just for the quality of writing in general, because, you know, for those of us who are employers in the real estate field, we will also know that there is a wide variety of writing skills that people come into our organizations with. And the great thing, the democratizing thing about these AIs is that for people who know how to use them, the level of their communication, their written communication, their emails, and their drafting of different things really has just, the quality of it has gone up so incredibly that it's really an amazing equalizer. Now, the other thing that's maybe a bit, you know, less equalizing about this is that it's beginning to be clear that certain groups of the population are really learning to leverage the AI, whereas other people who have not had that training until now really are falling quickly behind. And, you know, anecdotally in conversing with, you know, various other investors around me and also with other business owners, it's now becoming clear that one of the questions that we have to ask our prospective employees in the hiring process is, how are you leveraging AI? Which tools are you using? And explain to me, you know, how you're using this or how you've used this in your personal life or your previous job, because the productivity gains that can be had by using these new AI tools is so incredible that you actually can't compare the productivity of an employee who's able to use those tools in a clever way with somebody who is not proficient at them. So, you know, I started this by mentioning this part of our communications. But one of the other places that we've began to use AI in really a great way is also with drafting contracts. And so if you have like a super, you know, complex legal document that for us was drafted in one language, so in English or French, you can just run that through GPT and like save almost thousands of dollars of having a lawyer translate that contract. Now, do you have to read that over and maybe just give it a proofreading at the end? Probably you do. But the real basic heavy lifting of that translation is just so easy to get done. And also just in terms of to draft like very simple legal documents. So if you have to do, you know, a simple promissory note or a simple draft of a loan or anything like that, perhaps even a promise to purchase. Now, this isn't something that I would necessarily advise doing, but if you quickly need to just draft something quick and dirty, you can always get your GPT to do that for you. But I will say that the quality of the work that those AIs, those like large language model AIs are able to do, really has to do with the quality of the prompts. And so if you're trying to get a specific type of contract written or have something done, be sure that you're, you know, telling it which to what thing to reference, because, you know, for somebody who operates in Canada and in Quebec, Quebec and Canada don't necessarily use the same legal references for everything. So us in Quebec, we have the civil code, whereas in Canada, it's more of a common law system. And so if you want a GPT to be able to draft a legal document or to refer to specific things, you have to tell it which legal system it's referring to. And unfortunately, if you just randomly in English tell it to draft something, probably it's going to be more US compliant. But then, you know, in the US, there are different states that have slight differences in terms of what you can and can't do. And so, you know, making sure to include that in your prompt is just going to up the accuracy of whatever that GPT is doing. So that's kind of, you know, where the large language models are showing up in a lot of the stuff that we're doing. But I wanted to share some other really cool and crazy things that I am now seeing that people are able to do with AI. And so one of the really crazy things is how, you know, previously, if you had a photographer come and do real estate photos for you, they had to do some pretty intense Photoshop to, you know, remove clutter or, you know, perhaps even stage a unit by putting furniture in it. But there are now AIs that will do crazy stuff. So if you want to change the color of the paint, if you want to add a dog in the image to convince people that your listing is pet friendly, if you want to add furniture, you want to do all sorts of different things, you can now use an AI to essentially Photoshop your rental images to really give prospective tenants a complete idea of what that unit would look like if they were to furnish it with their furniture or to paint it a different color and all kinds of stuff. And so for us in how we're marketing and advertising our units, that's making a huge difference, especially when our paint jobs are not super great, or if we're trying to make a unit look pet friendly, we can Photoshop a dog in there or do something of that nature. And so the now beginning to be able to use those like video, the video and image altering tools is really going to be a great thing for how we're able to advertise and give prospective tenants just a better sense and be able to project themselves when a unit that is cluttered is uncluttered, or what something might look like if they repaint or have different furniture in there. I will then also say that in my own business, one of the tools that I'm beginning to love, and actually, I'm afraid that I will not be able to live without it, is the Fireflies AI, which is a chat bot or a transcript creator that attends your meetings for you. And like, this is actually crazy because this AI like will attend your any video calls that you have. And not only will it provide a recording, okay, that's pretty standard, either Zoom or Google Meets can record for you, but it provides meeting summaries. It gives you action items, and then it sends those summaries out to the different people who attended the meeting. And so again, if you're looking for productivity gains, this allows you to rapidly stay on top of stuff. And, you know, me personally, with my not super great memory, by the time I've chatted with someone for an hour, if there was an action item embedded in minute 10 of a 1 hour conversation, 100% I've forgotten it. And so to have a transcript tool that just pulls that out and then sends me my 6 or 7 action items at the end of a call is really something amazing. So, you know, if you haven't had a chance to try this particular tool yet and you do a lot of online meetings, you're going to just find that crazy in terms of the type of meeting recaps and things that it provides for you. So that's a summary of some of the tools that I see coming up most of all. What I do also see perhaps more like in the, you know, coaching and social media space is that you can actually have AIs generate clips of you now. And so the, obviously, you know, there's a lot of conversation about deep fakes and things like that. But even with creators who are posting stuff on social media, the ability to now have AIs post to TikTok or post various clips, once that gets off the ground, is also going to be crazy, because when you're, you know, scrolling on social media, half the stuff that you see is not even going to be a real person who posted it. It's like just somebody who's uploaded their video image and their voice sample into some kind of a bot that's creating that content. And I will also say, to my great irritation, one of the other trends that I am observing is that now every time I want to do some sort of a transfer of money, I have to go down to the branch and sign a transfer notice in person. And, you know, I was chatting with my person at the bank to just, you know, be like, wow, this is crazy. I can't believe that this is now what's happening to business owners. But so she said that now with all of this voice recognition and all of the AIs, the way that that is being used fraudulently in the banking industry, it's making it that like banking security has just gone up like crazy. Because if you are able to, you know, have a voice recognition work off of a voice sample, then really you can trick any computer on the other end or anything that's listening to think that it's you when it's actually a criminal who's just pulled your voice sample from somewhere. So, you know, that's also a place where this is showing up, is just like in the whole fraudster aspect. Now, I know that in my own practice, I use the data scraping tools, whether it's, you know, I just don't do all that much prospecting. I'm a very boring buyer who buys a lot of the time off the MLS or from my network around me. But I do know that the AI tools are now increasingly able to scrape data, whether it's data for prospecting, so to be able to do direct mail or to call people, or whether it's to analyze markets and, you know, find different kind of metrics to see whether or not a property is profitable. And at this point, I will just mention that, you know, those tools are not equally useful on both sides of the American and Canadian border. Because in Canada, a lot of the privacy laws that we have prevent personal data. So if you're trying to scrape and cross-reference ownership data with phone records and stuff like that, it's just going to be less effective because many of that, those pieces of information are not publicly available or may not be scraped in the Canadian context. Whereas in the US, a lot of that data is just more out there and available. And the same goes for property information, like sale, stuff like that. It's just more difficult to obtain those kind of big data tools in Canada because a lot of our stuff is shielded behind firewalls and things like that. And so perhaps this is just a good place to leave this conversation as a bit of a caveat for those of us who are perhaps in smaller submarkets. So whether, you know, you're in Quebec and you're trying to scrape something from trying to get a GP to give you an answer for, you know, based on Canadian law, or if you're asking questions in English, and then if you do not provide the correct prompts, probably what's going to happen is that the answer that will get spat out is going to be referencing a United States context. And I will also say that, you know, a lot of these AI tools provide free versions, and that one of the things that is perhaps substandard about the free versions versus, like, for example, the paid version of GPT is that because your paid GPT like really remembers and learns based on all of the questions that you ask it. And you can actually even train it on your writing samples. You can train it, if you have a business, you can train it on your branding and, like, you know, even using podcast episodes that you feed it. And so it will get more familiar with your voice, but it will also become more familiar with the context that you operate in. And I should say that my GPT currently knows very well where I'm located. And so when I'm able to prompt it to do specific things, it's already correlating that and triangulating to make sure that it's appropriate for the market that I am working in. So, real estate investor, if you are not yet on the AI train, I want to just give you a word of caution, because I know that this is a tool, these are tools that are filtering their way through the population in a rather uneven manner. And if you're somebody who's resisting this AI revolution, I really recommend that, like, even if you don't see an immediate use for it or you're feeling resistant to it, just start playing with some of the tools and give in to the trend, because what 6 months ago was an isolated incident of a tenant sending me a GPT email has now become that when I hire employees, I actually have to check and make sure that they are using these tools, because the productivity that you're going to be able to get from somebody who is learning how to leverage these technologies is just, you know, I don't even know how to exit. Like, is it a 3x or a 4x or a 10x of the productivity level that somebody can have who knows how to leverage these tools? And this is really not a revolution that you want to be left behind on. And in the same way as, you know, perhaps those of us who have aging parents are aware that, you know, let's say my mom doesn't want to give out her credit card details online, you know, or even an older generation didn't even want to have email. Like, I know that a lot of my older tenants don't have email, or they're providing checks because they don't want to use online banking. And for people who now are resisting this AI revolution, they're really going to be left in the dust in a way that is going to make it very difficult for them to interface productively with what's going on in the outside world. So as a word of caution, if you are not on this bandwagon, I suggest you get with the program real quick, because in 6 months' time, you will find that the world has really become a different place. So, real estate fan, if you have any platforms that you love, if you have any tools or anything that I did not mention in this episode, I would love it if you would reach out to me either via LinkedIn, so you can find me at Terry Schauer, or on Instagram at Terry Schauer as well. And just let me know what AI tools you're using, what you're finding is helping you with, you know, your productivity, or either the pet peeve that you wish that the tenants had not weaponized in communicating with you. I'm all ears, and I'm always open to explore some of those things. Maybe we can talk about them on a following episode if there's something really juicy in there. The second exciting thing is that we still have a few more coaching spots available in our next cohort. If you would like to have a little bit more help closing on that next property, please go ahead and fill out the contact form on equitybuildersclub.com, and we would be happy to jump on a call and explain to you a little bit more about what we do.
Thank you for listening to the Real Escape Investing Podcast. I'm your host, Terry Schauer. If you find that this show has been useful to you, if you've enjoyed the content, if it's done anything to move the needle for you, please go ahead and share it with one person who you think could profit from listening to it. Until next time, real estate fans.